Welcome to the ultimate crowdsourced personal finance show. This is your Friday Roundup.
You're listening to Choose FI Radio. The blueprint for financial independence lives here. If you're looking to unlock the secrets to financial independence and early retirement, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and join a community of like-minded people who are getting off the hamster wheel and taking control of their lives in the pursuit of financial independence. Choose FI, your home for financial independence online.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. Today we are going to be discussing this past week's episode that highlighted the amazing and awesome journey of Scott Trench, aka the Trenchinator, and specifically how to create your own luck. I think that this is one of those episodes that really deserves an entire second episode just to go through each one of these actionable tips that he dropped, but I'm incredibly excited about it. And to help me with this, I have my co-host Brad here with me today. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Jonathan, I am doing quite well. Yeah, it's a gorgeous, like, spring-like day here in Richmond. It's 75-plus degrees, and I had a nice morning. I actually went over to my daughter Molly's elementary school and read as a mystery reader, which is kind of neat. So I showed up at school. The kids know that one of the parents are coming in, but they don't know who. So they all have their heads down on their desk when the parent walks in, and the teacher says, "Okay, boys and girls, raise your head up." And my daughter Molly just like melted. It was awesome. She ran up to me and gave me this big hug, and she gets to sit in the front row. So yeah, it was really, really fun.
Wow, that's cool. So I have a horrible memory. I've kind of said this on the show before. Like, I don't think I have but maybe one or two memories before the age of like 9 or 10. I mean, it's shocking. But like, as a parent now with my son, every once in a while, there'll be something that he does that re-engages that memory, and I get a little bit of a fragment back. And we've started spending time together at the library. Yeah, 8 months old, spending time with me at the library. We were there on Saturday. Suddenly, I just had this memory of this book that I just absolutely loved, but I could remember nothing about it. I had no idea what it was. I knew there was an author. I knew it was a picture book, probably ages 6 to 10, and that I read every single thing I could find of his at the library. But all I could remember is that it had a ram in it. Like, that's all I had. Like, the, you know, ram cousin to the sheep. That's all I have. And so I'm just literally, I leave the library because I can't come up with it. And I take like 3 to 4 hours trying to figure out what the heck, you know, where did this come from? What was it? And I have a conversation with my brother that night, and we landed on the fact that it was a book series by Bill Peet. I don't know if that name means anything to you, but he was a former animator and drawer for Disney. He actually left the Disney company back in the 40s and started writing his own picture books in the 50s and 60s, I believe. They're always good. And so now that I have that name, I literally can't wait to go back to the library so I can hopefully dig up these series of books. And it's amazing how, like, engaging with your kids and being in these situations that you wouldn't be in, you know, if you were just doing your own thing, always selfishly pointed on yourself, literally spending time with your kids makes you young again.
Yeah, it definitely does. That's cool. It's funny thinking back to your childhood. And actually, we've never talked about this, but I have a terrible memory of my life also. It's almost like I sometimes wonder, like, did I have a childhood? Like, I don't remember essentially any of it other than just like little flashes here and there, which is frustrating. But similarly, we actually read this series of books. It was like this random series of book called The Sweet Pickles. There were like 26 different books, one for each letter of the alphabet. And my mom wound up finding them on eBay and bought them for my girls. So we've been reading them over the last couple of years. And yeah, it's just kind of neat to kind of see childhood through your own kids' eyes. And obviously, Choose FI, we're huge fans of books, the library, et cetera. And you actually just told me about, there's a new Facebook group, the Choose FI Book Club, which is neat. Neither of us started it, but it's certainly part of our ecosystem now. And there's like 300 members in there, and they actually review one book per month and talk about it like real in-depth and intelligently. It's a neat idea. So I literally just joined this group and looking forward to it. So yeah, it's really, Very, very cool.
Well, somehow in this group, I doubt they will be covering amazing epic titled books like Buford the Little Bighorn, How Drufus the Dragon Lost His Head, or Cowardly Clyde. But I think you can probably find them at the library. So Bill Pete just gave me a little bit of my childhood back, and it was one of those like light bulb moments. So let's go ahead and jump from that little hook back into this Monday's episode talking about Scott and generating your own luck. What an incredible episode.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. And I've been emailing back and forth with Scott this entire week just because as I listened to this episode multiple times, it really hits me just how similarly we think. And I've never met anyone that has used the same words, which he talks about increasing the odds, thinking, you're almost thinking in terms of that math. And I've talked about it just getting a little bit better, right? Getting 1% better. But I kind of think about the world, not overtly in math, but just doing what I can to just make my likelihood of success that much higher. So it's just, that's kind of where I get this 1% better. I'm just thinking like, what can I do to just make my world and my outcomes just that little bit better? And he also talks about luck, which I've talked about both those things throughout my entire life. I don't believe in luck just as this random happenstance. I think about it in the same terms that Scott does, which is it's this intersection of preparation and opportunity. That's just such a cool way of looking at life, whereas you're creating your own luck by seizing these opportunities that you find that otherwise other people have many of these same opportunities, but they probably just slip on by because they don't see them. They're not prepared to take them. And that's what we've talked about all throughout this podcast with like the talent stack quote that I've gotten from Scott Adams, the author, and just putting together all these skills that enable you to be prepared for opportunities that come your way in life. And I think that's a very positive way to go through life, is to be able to seize these opportunities and take control of your life. This is the ultimate FI message.
And I think what's really cool about what Scott does is he ties all these very solvable problems together. I think that it's very easy to view the world as something that's happening to you that you have no control over. But his book, Set for Life, really defines four or five things that you need to figure out a way to solve, and they're achievable, and he gives you ideas on how to solve them. And then if you can do that, your path to FI basically writes itself. And there's these kind of distinct points in time that we could slow down and highlight that's valuable. In my mind, the first one was that he did come out of school with no debt. That is a hurdle. I mean, that is something that a lot of people cannot say, that they're coming out with $30,000, $40,000 worth of student loan debt. And once you come out with that, now you're dealing with a different set of circumstances. If you hear this when you're in your early teens, if your parents hear this and they're able to give that information to their child along with a plan to solve that, to get college for free or for very little cost, okay, now we've got that worked out. Now this next achievable goal is getting that $25,000. I mean, to me, that sounds very doable. That's no longer talking about hitting 25 times your annual expenses. It's no longer talking about hitting the double comma club. It's just focused on how can we save up 25K? And maybe it takes a year or two or 3 years or 5 years to do that. But this is something that you can set your eyes on, this particular objective. Again, much easier once you're coming out of school, either at broke or with a slightly positive net worth. And then from there, things just start to accelerate and just get easier and easier and easier. And so now the next problem you can solve is how to save 50% of your income. And it's such a simple solution that nobody talks about. It's becoming more and more mainstream in the FI community. You start to see the buzzwords like house hacking. I think before the FI community really as a group rallied around this concept, lots of people were doing this. It just wasn't given common language. But this idea of what if you could just live for free or live with enough other people that the cost of your living is so drastically subsidized that it makes it incredibly easy to save 50% of your income. So you kind of almost see these stepwise points. And if you can solve each one of those individual problems, this isn't like talking about doing this in your 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. I mean, this is when I basically was just starting to get my six figures of student loan debt. He'd already figured out the problem and solved it.
Yeah. And I love how down to earth Scott is about this. And he said, that's what's crazy is I think that what I'm doing is normal and repeatable for most, right? And when you hear him talk about it, it does sound perfectly normal and repeatable. And that's, Jonathan, what you and I talk about here. We're not doing anything crazy. We're just trying to be a little more optimized. And when you make those big decisions, properly, if you will, then everything else falls into line. Like Scott said, he looked at the pie of where normal people spend their money. And 50% of it came down to housing and transportation. So it was approximately about a third for housing and 17% for transportation. He was able to cut those down to virtually nothing by having a bicycle instead of a car and by house hacking and having roommates and tenants pay for his entire living situation. Now, he was not depriving himself in any way, shape, or form, going out, like he said, for wings and beer with his buddies. And he's living this nice lifestyle as a young guy in his 20s, not depriving himself by any means to anyone looking at him. But he's just made two decisions. He's still living in a house shared with other people, just like many other people his age do. But instead of paying rent to some landlord somewhere, he's the one who owns the house. And he's getting rent from other people to subsidize the entire payment, if not more. So his housing expense is zero or approximately, right? Plus or minus. Again, he doesn't have a car. He rides his bike and his transportation expense is zero. So two little decisions that most people do not take. And there, Scott has 50% of what most people spend money on is completely down to zero. That is a remarkable thing. And then Jonathan, like you're saying, everything else then falls into line. It's a glide path, right? Like he saved that first $25,000 and had that financial runway. That's easy when you're making a pretty good salary and you're not spending any money, right? It's remarkable. And then he made some interesting decisions. He wanted to have flexibility with his money, so he didn't tie it up in 401ks and retirement accounts. And based on his path, while we, for many people, say control what you can control and max out your retirement accounts and lower your taxable income and lower your tax liability. Well, that's all well and good as kind of general advice. But Scott said, hey, I want to purchase rental real estate and that's my plan. So he wanted to have the flexibility to do that. So he made a very informed decision to not put money into 401ks and other retirement vehicles. That's what's so interesting is when you have a plan, it's very, very easy to follow through. But when you just kind of drift and graze through life, that's when things become difficult. So it's, again, it's that discipline equals freedom. Scott had this discipline to make these couple decisions, to save money with a goal in mind, and to put it into place. And now he's a 27-year-old guy. He's worth hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of dollars. He has a dream job. I mean, it's like, it's amazing. You couldn't write this story. But like he said, this is repeatable. It's repeatable for most if you just have a plan and make some wise decisions.
What becomes very apparent about Scott's story is that when you tailor it to any unique individual situation, the only thing keeping you from financial independence is the question, how bad do you want it? What sort of lifestyle changes are you willing to make in order to reach it? You know, I think there's a part of me that says that practically, no matter how awesome this particular episode was, I am past the point at which I am going to pursue house hacking as a vehicle to hit financial independence. And I think part of that may be that I see other ways to hit it at this particular point in time. It's not a lever that I have to pull. I have a feeling if I took it to my wife, she would just laugh at me if I even suggested it at this point. That doesn't mean that it's not valid and it doesn't work for everybody and that everybody shouldn't consider it. And I think that, you know, if you are at a place in time where you're like, well, I don't see any other way to save 50% of my income, the reality is you have to ask yourself, how important is it to actually reach this financial independence? And the cool thing about our community is that we can define financial independence different ways. I have seen many people say, you know, for me, financial independence looks like a traditional retirement where maybe my spouse can exit the workforce early. Or for me, financial independence looks like me just working part-time or working seasonally. The meaning of financial independence can be flexible for different people in different stages of life. But I think when you really boil down to what does it look like to go from saving nothing to 50% of your income, it comes down to, are you willing to solve the problem? And are you willing to make changes, even if they may be uncomfortable, in order to get there? Now, this strategy to me highlights the strength of finding this information at an early age. This is why I bought the book and I gave it to my brother and I begged them to read it. Because when you are in this position, this stage of life where you're single, where you are already comfortable with the idea of having roommates. This, it's not a stretch. You're not really pulling yourself out of any particular comfort zone or lifestyle creep that you've just got out of college. You've been living on nothing. It's not a big deal to increase your lifestyle by a very small percentage and now have roommates and live for free. All these tools become available to you. Scott reached financial independence by the time that I graduated from pharmacy school. So I was starting with $168,000 in student loan debt and a degree, and all of the extra income that I was generating was just going down to paying down my debt so I could get back to broke. And he's at FI. That's incredible.
Yeah, Scott's an impressive guy. And to me, one thing that's especially impressive is how he takes action. He told us he read this one article by Brandon Turner about house hacking, and it was just boom, that changed his entire life because he got up, put a plan in place and took action. That to me is so impressive. One of the things he said, and I marked this down because I literally put a note here in my document that said, one of the most important things ever said on the podcast was at minute 9 of this episode. And it was a real simple quote. It was, quote, "I have very high expectations from life." Now really think about that. I have very high expectations from life. What that strikes me as is what's known as an internal locus of control. It means he views the world as something that he has power over. There's no mythical they out there exerting power over him or keeping him down or all these other things that you hear people complain about. It's none of that. It's, I have very high expectations from life. He wanted and expected his effort to lead to better opportunities. That's why he went there. And in the first year of his job, he sat there and said, quote, "I wanted to learn how to do my job better and better. I became an Excel guru by taking courses to continuously streamline the process." What a cool thing. He's at that point, 22-year-old guy who just showed up for his job and he just wants to be the best. That is very unusual, but it shouldn't be. It shouldn't have to be. If we all said we can control our future, we have to put in effort and we will get results. That's the way to look at life. Unfortunately, when he saw that wasn't possible, he became disillusioned very, very quickly at that first job. And he made it happen, right? Like, again, it was that intersection of luck. By going out and reading all these articles, reading these websites, he was able to take that random chance opportunity of meeting this 65-year-old guy on a park bench while he's walking a borrowed dog. That is crazy. And not only is that not just a chance 2-minute conversation, but he got involved in this mastermind group of all these people who were go-getters in his local area. That, in this serendipitous quirk of fate, led him to Josh Dorkin, who worked in the same building, and led him to a job interview and then his job at Bigger Pockets. I mean, what a story, right? It sounds like luck, but it wasn't. It was Scott taking action all those months and years and being ready for that opportunity. And you guys, you have to hear that. I have high expectations from life. That to me, again, one of the most important things you'll ever hear on this podcast.
You know, Brad, I did go ahead and Google the meanest company in America in 2012. And I could say definitively that it is either Dish Network or EA. I'm assuming that's EA Sports. I can't tell you for certain which one of those two it was because there was some sort of confusion, but I will say that Dish Network is out of Colorado, so I'm leaning to Dish.
Very nice research, Jonathan.
My Google skills are always on point.
We are all impressed.
All right, let's talk about high expectations. You know, he highlighted this is a common thread in the FI community. People in the FI community are not willing to settle. The same level of optimization that has you listening to podcasts and trying to figure out that next little piece that you don't know that you don't know, that means that you're not willing to settle for normal results. So the way to tackle that, once you have that realization and you say, huh, I want more out of this life. I want to experience more. I want to do more. I want to have a greater impact. That means that you need to start exposing yourself to more situations and more people. It means you have to get out of your comfort zone, because if every day is a routine, if nothing unexpected is happening, if no one in your life is changing, then you're going to get the exact same results that you've gotten to this point in time. And I think the power that we see over and over again that Scott saw and benefited from was the power of community. And the amazing thing about living in 2018, and honestly, anytime over the last 5-10 years, is that you can now pick a digital community to start to get that experience from. And then from there, I think as we continue to see this grow and you realize that there's more and more of these types of people all around the world and in every city of the world, you can now start to bridge the gap and go from the digital connections online to the local mastermind groups in your own community. And it transforms everything, because you're, for the first time, instead of settling, you're being pushed just a little bit outside of your comfort zone. And you're learning to do what Dominic Cortuccio actually referenced when he came on the podcast back in episode 33. You can start to lean into discomfort. Just put yourself slightly out of your comfort zone, because you never know where you're going to land. It really is incredible. Brad, 2 years ago, my path was set. I knew exactly what I was going to be doing. And you know what? It looks nothing like it does today. Not a single circumstance that I find myself in has anything to do with pharmacy, with the career path that I placed myself on for the last 8 years. Right now, it has nothing to do with that. And the thing that changed in my life were the people that I was spending all of my time with, the people that were being mentors in my life, the people that were giving me information. And then that one extra little piece that you saw, that common thread, was that I actually took action with it. I actually did something with it. That is the key. It's not enough to consume information. In fact, you can get information overload. You got to take that one step, but it doesn't have to be a big step. It doesn't even have to be buying a house. It could literally just be focusing on the idea of being a little bit better today than you were yesterday. And you can apply that in one aspect of your life, gain the confidence from that, and then transition to every other aspect of your life.
Yeah. And Jonathan, you mentioned local communities in there. It's important that we know we have now, I think it's over 130 Choosify local groups throughout the world. They're anywhere from 5, 10, 15 people to our San Diego group, I think, has well over 200. And we actually have one in the UAE that I think has over 2,000 members. They're like a joint group with Bogleheads and Choosify. And I mean, they're amazing. They have meetups with major speakers and get hundreds of people to show up. So, I mean, these groups can be a little bit of everything. And I know you'll talk about this in a minute, but you think of them as potential opportunities for masterminds, for supplanting rotary groups, for just random game nights, or let's go out for a beer or whatever it may be, backyard barbecue, right? They could be anything. And that's the beauty of having a community of like-minded people like this. And for everyone out there, you can see the list of groups. It's at choosefi.com/local. And yeah, I think we just had our first pop-up in Japan. And what's funny is Jonathan and I were going to mention how we're in basically every state, but for some weird quirk of fate, we did not have one in Louisiana. But no joke, literally 10 minutes ago, we just got an email from Ben in New Orleans saying he wants to volunteer to be the admin of the New Orleans Choosify local group, which is amazing. Like, that you couldn't write this stuff. I mean, we literally just talked about this. Like, where is Louisiana? Let's put out a call for it on the podcast. And no joke, Ben writes that while we were talking about it. So yeah, it's a quirky world out there, but that's what's so neat about this. People just want to be part of these groups. And yeah, big thanks to Ben and all the admins out there and all the local groups across the world.
There's a quote, Brad, and we'll have to go back out to find it, but it basically says, you can get everything you want by helping someone else get everything they want. That is what this is. Selfishly, this is the community that you have longed for. This is the community that you need as you're trying to form different types of businesses. I mean, we've talked about this before. Every business that you've ever had, you personally, Brad, has been based on some form of a partnership. And even if it is an employer-employee startup relationship, you need partners when you're doing a startup. You need people with vision. And Scott landed on this idea of being willing to join someone and help them grow their own business. To me, of everything we talked about, that is the most remarkable. This is the first, and I consider Scott an entrepreneur that I would aspire to be like, but he's doing this for someone else. He's helping someone else create their business. And he's the first example that I can think of that has come on this show, at least, that has highlighted how powerful this concept and idea is. You don't always need to think of the idea yourself. You just need to find a startup that inspires you and motivates you and find a way to partner with them. And I tell you, as someone that has a startup myself, that is powerful. It is an incredibly powerful concept. And early on, your first hire can make or break you. It really can. Those first hires for any company are absolutely critical. I was just reading Entrepreneur Magazine, and it was talking about this exact thing, that companies want to hire, in many cases, there's a level of social proof that comes with hiring employees. A company that has more employees must be better. But in reality, the more employees you have, the slower the ship, the slower things go. And if you make the wrong hires early on, it cripples you. If you can be Scott and you can find a business to say, hey, I'll come work with you for free on the weekends, this is all about trust. As soon as you, when you're starting out and you have your baby and you're building it, that first person you bring on, you just have to trust them implicitly. And as soon as you can get past being a gatekeeper to realizing that you and this new hire have the exact same vision, now it's like, what can we build together? And it's all steam ahead. And you can see that with someone like Scott, he charted his own course. It wasn't Josh coming to Scott and say, hey, do this task, then this task, then this task. I guarantee you it was Scott bringing ideas and say, hey, I think I can add value in these five places. Let me take these projects and run. And some of them worked and some of them didn't, but they were able to iterate them together. And it became obvious, because Scott was already doing the workload, that this needed to be the vice president of operations, which is why you see Bigger Pockets is blowing up. You know, Josh, there's not enough bandwidth for Josh to man the entire ship himself. He had to bring on help. And as soon as he had these 1 to 2, 3 hires, you know, Brandon Turner, you have Mindy and you have Scott, they are just taking this thing and running with it. And it is changing so many thousands and thousands of lives all around the country for people that are trying to find good information with regards to real estate. And it goes back to just finding people that you can trust.
Yeah. And can you imagine if I was in Josh Dorkin's shoes when Scott shows up for that kind of pseudo interview that he wasn't even aware of, I would be doing cartwheels. I mean, could you imagine having someone like Scott show up and just being ultra prepared, having all these brilliant ideas? That would just be an absolute slam dunk. So yeah, Josh obviously got very fortunate for that intersection of luck as well. But what's cool is Scott really took a problem in his life. He was disillusioned with this corporate job, which is probably what everybody told him. He went to a top tier college. He came out, he got a job at a Fortune 500 company. You can work your way up. He had succeeded in every aspect of his life. And I assume that, and what he talked about, he probably assumed he could rise very quickly at his Fortune 500 job. And he realized, unfortunately, that's not how it worked at this company, that the amount of effort he put in wasn't going to lead overnight to these amazing results. And what he did was, and you alluded to, Jonathan, is he took the entrepreneurial mindset and looked at it a little bit differently. He wasn't the entrepreneur at Bigger Pockets. He still isn't, but it's not his company, but he is on commission there. So the effort that he puts in leads to the results that he gets. So that is still, it's that entrepreneurial mindset. That is the key. He took a problem that he had and he didn't go out and build his own company. He jumped on this amazing startup and it's worked out for him probably better than he could have ever expected. That's just a really cool kind of rethink, but it also enabled that same agency, that same control over his life that he was craving. And again, effort in and results out. And that's, it's worked out well for him. And I really want to say just a really heartfelt congrats to him that he had the presence of mind at that young age to realize, hey, this is not for me. This Fortune 500 company that, sure, this looks great on paper, this is just not for me. I need this control over my life. And that's just a cool way to look at life.
All right, Brad, so let me put this back on you for a second. So you've done three of these businesses, and at this point, your reputation in the online space kind of helps you. It kind of makes each additional project easier and easier and easier. But what if we took all of that away from you, but you knew everything that you knew now? So let's go back. You're in an accountant role. You've made the right move. So you have several $100,000 of net worth. You're not at FI yet, but you have several $100,000 of net worth. And you decide with this newfound control that you have over your life that you want to embrace this entrepreneurial mindset. What does it look like for you to create your own luck?
Wow. Jonathan, that's a really deep question. Holy cow. I'm probably going to be disappointed with my answer after this, but let me try to go through that. So to me, I think the two most important things are learning and putting together that talent stack of just these random skills, and also the network of people, and finding, like you always say, the five people around you who are going to really impact what your day-to-day thoughts are, how you react, et cetera. I think to me, if I could credit most of my success, it would be from those two things. So it would be learning and a positive mindset and that community and the network of people. So I'm not sure that I would, even though I kind of quote unquote failed for years at creating websites and creating businesses, I'm not sure that I would go back and do it differently. I genuinely believe, based on the information that I had at that time, that I could have made a success from it. So it's not like I would say, oh, just wait around until you find this one amazing idea. There are so many easy ways to start internet businesses for pennies. I mean, you can get hosting for like $4 a month at, I don't know, Bluehost or someplace like that, and get a domain name for $8 a year. That's really what it costs to start a WordPress site, and come up with an idea, come up with an angle, write great content. Like that, I tried that and it worked and it didn't work. And I tried to do stupid things based on the information I had at the time. You know, it was back in the days of SEO and that kind of gaming Google, and I deservedly failed. But I learned something. I learned never be inauthentic. And that was something crucial to me. And that was something that, looking back, I can't believe I was ever at a point that I would put out content that was inauthentic at its core. But that's just a learning lesson, right? So for me, it comes down to a lot of these things. It's just get a positive mindset. I would go through, I would listen to every podcast that Tom Bilyeu at Impact Theory ever put out, every podcast that Jocko Willink and probably Tim Ferriss to some large degree. I'd read all the Tim Ferriss books. I would just prime myself to have this outlook of that internal locus of control where I can control my outcome. And yeah, I mean, I would make connections with people. And that's what I've tried to do for years. And it's not in any kind of spammy way. I mean, anybody that's listened to me over the hundreds of hours of audio over this podcast hopefully knows nothing I do as far as creating relationships and friendships is spammy in any way, shape, or form. I'm not looking to get anything out of people. People see right through that. Like, that's not it at all. It's just I create these relationships and connections with people that I want to spend time with. And in this interesting quirk of fate, though I say that kind of tongue in cheek, these people wind up being a success also, right? So these people wind up being successes as well. And I think there's a lot to that. I'm looking at the world. I'm looking for people that I value, that I think add value to the world. And I email them. I send them Twitter messages. I try to have coffees or lunches or those kind of things and just build up this network. And I think that to me has helped me probably, if I could say it, probably more than anything in the success that I've had over the last handful of years. So do you think that's a reasonable answer? I mean, that's kind of what I've got off the top of my head, but I'd love to dive more into any particular topic if you think I should add or you know, just talk about something else.
I think that's great. Considering that I sandbagged you and you had no time to prepare for this, I think you did a wonderful job. I'm sure that if you thought about it, you could polish it up at the margins and probably turn it into a keynote presentation down the road. And maybe you should do that.
Yeah, maybe. Just don't sandbag me with that.
All right, Brad, we're giving a speech to 20,000 people in 10 minutes. I thought we could talk about creating your own luck. Go. I think that's good, man. I think there's a couple life skills that I had no idea how valuable they were. You know, we were talking about the library at the beginning of this episode, and I would not say that I had a premium education. I actually haven't said this on the show, but I was homeschooled for a significant portion of it. It wasn't a particularly awesome homeschool experience. I wasn't one that I would necessarily recommend to other people. I'm actually a big fan more and more of homeschooling. I just wouldn't say that mine would be the one that you should highlight as, you know, the perfect example. But what I do look at is a passionate love of the library as a young kid. And I think that that did instill in me a lifelong love of learning and being willing and desiring to learn all sorts of new things. Now, I don't know if that was channeled as efficiently as it could have been. In retrospect, I think that there's a few key ideas that I wish I had latched onto and channeled that love of learning toward much earlier. One, I was terrified of even the idea of entrepreneurship. I was convinced that all entrepreneurs were doomed for failure and, you know, those other ones would be millionaires and billionaires, but that clearly wasn't going to be me. So I chose the very safe path, quote unquote, which for me was pharmacy. You know how that story ended. But I think that entrepreneurship, incredibly valuable, leadership, incredibly valuable, and communication, incredibly valuable. I think that much of that can be learned either online or at the library. The third part of that is who is your network? And, you know, with my wife, as I've helped her build this business from scratch, and it's not a finished product, it's what we're working on. What comes to mind is solve a problem and get integrated into a community as quickly as possible. So for her, if she wants to be an audiobook narrator, she needs to join Facebook groups that are tailored to that specific niche. And I just see it work. You know, it's a repeatable process. Figure out where you want to be. Position yourself around people that have access or have good information and start communicating with them. Start dialoguing, asking questions. And then whenever you figured something else out, pay it forward. Become part of a community. It changes the five people that you're surrounding yourself with, and it enables you to fast track your success. I think that more and more as this show moves to life optimization and we talk about people retiring in their 20s, which is crazy, but Scott's an example, 30s, 40s, and 50s, reclaiming the best years of their life as opposed to the golden years of their life, they are still going to be looking for meaningful work, and I say that with quotes around it, when long after they reach financial independence. A 25-year-old that has the work ethic of Scott Trench is not going to reach financial independence by the age of 27 and say, okay, I'm done. Now I can finally catch up on Netflix. That's not on your radar. It's what do I want to build next? And you're doing it from this platform of financial strength. And it enables you, honestly, it enables you to go into conversations without that scarcity mindset. That's incredibly powerful. You're entering conversations as a collaborative partner, bringing value to the table. What's so interesting about the community that's aggregated under the FI banner is that they have the personal finance locked down. But in reality, many of them are or aspire to be entrepreneurs. It really hasn't been highlighted. And frankly, even our first 6 months of podcasting, we didn't highlight how much the side hustle or the business was a component of this puzzle. It was Alan Donegan that helped us bring that back full circle and really set the stage for where this goes into the future. But in my mind, that's crazy because unlike every other community, unlike the entrepreneur community, unlike the real estate community, the financial independence community starts with a solid ground game on their personal finance, which enables everything else to be easier. Just by starting here, all of your other ventures are on a glide path to success. That's incredible. When you think about who is listening to real estate podcasts, who's listening to entrepreneur podcasts, in many cases, it's people that are using credit cards to get from one paycheck to the next. They're looking for that one thing that can salvage their personal finances. And they're operating from a scarcity mentality. That, and Scott even highlighted this. He said, one of the reasons that I wanted to start Bigger Pockets Money is that it's so important for people to enter real estate from a place of financial strength. If you've been listening to this podcast for the last 6 months and, you know, getting a little bit better each and every day, I have nothing but confidence that you have that covered. And now it's, okay, what's the next thing that I want to try?
So, Jonathan, while you were talking there, I was actually thinking, you know, since you kind of sandbagged me with that question before, I actually have been creating a document for my daughters. And it's kind of like my most important quick hit short lessons on life and like why I think I have had a successful life and like what I've learned over the last handful of years, what would make a happy and successful and fulfilled life for them. And If you don't mind, I'm just going to kind of run through some of these. And it's funny, like, I didn't even tell Laura about this. Like, it's not like it's a big secret, but it's just something I've been kind of, I have it in this little notepad document on my home screen of my computer here. And I just kind of, as something pops into my head, I just add it to the list. And it's something that hopefully I'll flesh out at some point. But yeah, I mean, do you mind if I read some of these?
Dude, I have chills down my spine. I feel like we're getting access behind the scenes. Of course, go for it.
All right. So yeah, just quick hit. It's read as much as you possibly can. You know, we talk about Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger and how they read 8+ hours a day. And Munger's family calls him a book with legs because that's what he always looks like. You have to read. You need a growth mindset. You need to believe that you're not anything. You're not smart. You're not good at X. You're not bad at X. You can learn and grow into anything if you put the time in and you try to have that mindset where you can learn anything. Always ask questions is something that I have for my girls. It's so many people just kind of sit back idly and don't understand things. And they just kind of sit there and let the world go by them. Like, ask questions. Don't be afraid to look stupid. I do that all the time. If I don't understand something, I think I'm a reasonably intelligent guy. Like, if I don't understand something, there's a real high likelihood most other people in the room don't either. So I don't mind looking stupid, quote unquote, and I say that tongue in cheek, and asking questions. So be an optimist and believe that you can change things. And this is kind of like what Scott talked about is, you know, just believe that you have agency. You have control over your life and that you can put effort in and get results out. And I think that's really important. So many people talk about that elusive they. Again, like I said, probably 20 minutes ago, that control people and beat them down and blah, blah, blah. Like, to me, that's all crap. Just believe that you can make change on the world. And kind of some of my little Jocko Willink-isms are just take ownership. Again, it's like I said before, believe you can change things. Take ownership. Discipline equals freedom. Have that framework of your life that is not rah, 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 go, go, go every second of the day, but creating this framework of discipline, of doing things the right way, of having things organized so you don't have to think about it. It just happens automatically by having systems and structure so that you have the freedom to do all the things that you want and have that mental space to explore and learn and grow and be creative. Like that's the important stuff. I've got a couple of quotes in here that I've kind of taken from Tim Ferriss podcasts and some random books that I've read is, what most people do all the time is complain, blame, or use sarcasm. Try to keep that out of your life. It doesn't add to anything. And once you notice it, so it's blame, complain, and use sarcasm. Once you think of those things, you hear so many people going through life just talking with those negative aspects all the time. So just try to cut it out. You need an identity. This is what Tom Bilyeu says. I'm the type of person that, and keep that in your mind. When you keep in mind that I'm the type of person that, for me, it's does the right thing even when people aren't looking. I'm the type of person that does the right thing even when people aren't looking. And I find myself, there will even be times where I'm downstairs and I'm ready to go up to sleep and there are cups out and all I need to do is just throw out the straw that my kids were drinking and rinse the cup out. And I start walking upstairs and I actually stop and say, I'm the type of person that does the right thing even when other people aren't looking. And I kid you not, I know it sounds crazy, but that mindset really makes a difference, that identity. So it's a cool little hack. And I would implore all of you to really look into that. Come up with an identity that means something to you. Jonathan, like you and I talk about the aggregation of marginal gains, just being 1% better, be a little bit better. Just find those ways that you can optimize your life, make your life a little better, increase the odds of success, as Scott talked about in the Monday episode. Don't keep up with the Joneses. This is a five fundamental. Don't care about what other people think is another way of putting it. Buy what you value. Do what you value. Don't care what other people think. It's so easy when you grow up, especially in America, to worry about what everybody else is doing, they're thinking, just forget about it. Don't sweat the small stuff. Just get your brain in check and don't worry about the little day-to-day inanities that most people do. Like meditate, relax, just get that brain in check somehow. And also get your sleep. I know it sounds kind of silly, but I think that's a superpower. I never pulled an all-nighter in college or did anything stupid like that because it inhibits your brain. You don't learn well. So just get your sleep. I tell my girls that all the time. Like I never stayed up late studying. I put my time in. your brain operates while you're sleeping and is ingesting the information, like, it doesn't work. Pulling an all-nighter, there's study after study that when you're cognitively impaired when you're not sleeping. So just real simple. And then another one of those quotes is, easy choices, hard life. Hard choices, easy life. And this is like FI, Jonathan, right? Like, we talk about this all the time. It's if you make those couple hard choices, like Scott did, have the house hack, have the bike instead of a car, then the rest of his life fell in line. So if you take the easy choices in life and do the gluttonous things, you're not going to have great outcomes. You really aren't. So yeah, I have just a handful more I'm going to go through quickly is, don't worry about competition. So many people are caught up with what the neighbor's doing, how the person in class is doing. Just worry about yourself and think about life as this abundant place where you can be happy for other people's successes and good things will happen. People will look out for you. They'll pull for you. They'll try to help you. Do something difficult that you can get better at over time. It just, humans crave progress. So just try to get a little bit better. For me, it's physical things now. It's jujitsu and CrossFit. And I try to get a little bit better every day. And I think it's important. You have to fail. If you just do easy things that you succeed at, and so everybody can tell you you're smart, that's not a recipe for a successful life. If you're not doing things that you're failing at, there's something wrong. You have to fail. That's how you learn in life. So one big Barrett fundamental that I always say to my girls is, you have this incredibly fortunate life and things are great for you. You always have to look out for the underdog. You always have to look out for that person that needs help the most. And that's the person you go and help the most. So I have trained them since they were young. Like, that's the type of person that you stick up for, and do not let other people bully kids. Do not let them, you know, the kid that doesn't have many friends. If you give an extra little smile or an extra little conversation, that means something to that person. So always look out for that underdog. And yeah, just the last two is, don't be late. I just, for some reason, that's one of my biggest pet peeves. Respect people's time, be on time. Like I said before, just do the right thing when nobody's looking. So that's most of mine. I have probably a couple others that I could add to this list, but.
No, I think that last one's a work in progress, man. You sent me a text today saying I'm gonna be 5 minutes late to this podcast. So.
Yeah, well, I was sleeping. I crashed. I absolutely crashed.
So those girls, you know, dad's working on this stuff too. It's very, very important.
Well, no, but you're absolutely right. I sure as heck am working on these. This is, believe me, I am not a perfect person. I am very, very far from it, but I try to be better every single day.
Dude, I love it, man. Those are great lessons. And each one of those is something that we have. I mean, honestly, you highlighted our takeaways from the last 60 or 70 episodes. You can see how this is stuff that, as you're thinking about it, you're being intentional with it. You're creating these podcasts, but you're also absorbing these podcasts, creator and listener, both sides. And you're thinking, what part of this can I use? Not just for myself, but what do I want to pass on to my kids? That's second generation FI, man.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And yeah, I mean, it's just really important that I have all these lessons that I do want to teach them. And I hope everybody else out there, you know, don't take exact inspiration from every single one of these. You might disagree with someone, right? Like, you might say, hey, Brad, you're stupid. You sometimes do need to stay up for all-nighters, or sleep isn't that important to me. Okay, that's fine. We can argue at the margins about these ones. But these are my lessons from life. And I would implore you to try to just write down your lessons from life. Like, what really makes a positive impact on your life? What's led to success? What hasn't worked? And what can you pass on to that next generation? We have so much information at hand that we can all use as a community to get better and to make it easier. We don't have to just all iterate on our own. We have this whole community of people that can help, and let's lean on it. That's what I'm all about is community. And that really is one for the list as well, is try to find that tribe, find that community of people that get you excited, that light you up. And yeah, I mean, that's really important stuff.
And Brad, I just want you to know that I'm not taking this lying down, man. I'm teaching my son right now. Like, we are working on crawling. It literally is just one knee in front of the other, and he's refusing. He just wants to go straight to walking. So we're working through these life lessons, but it's baby steps, man. It's totally baby steps.
1% better, right?
That's absolutely right. And it really is cool to see how, honestly, in my mind, this show has directly impacted the life lessons that you want to pass on to your kids.
Yeah, and there's no question about it. This is not stuff that comes fully formed. I would not have had that entire list a year ago. I would have had some of them, sure, but I'm not even sure that they would have come to me that easily. It's just by thinking about this, by hearing about it, by talking through these things on a regular basis, you just become more aware, and you become more aware of what works and what doesn't in your life and what's serving you and what isn't. And yeah, I mean, what else can we do but like just try to make our kids' lives better? And, you know, for those out there without kids, I mean, this is not an exclusive thought by any means. It's make the people's lives around you better. It doesn't have to be kids, right? So just try to look for ways to improve your life and the lives of people around you, the people that are important to you in life, and good things will happen. I think that's the real moral of the story here.
Well, unfortunately, guys, that's going to bring this episode to a close. As you know, we like to finish our Friday roundups by doing a drawing for a copy of a book that we have found useful. There's actually three books that we're highlighting these days. J.L. Collins' book, The Simple Path to Wealth, Dominic Cortuccio's book, Design Your Future. And then this is my newest favorite book right now. I'm loving it and I'm recommending it to everybody. Vincent Puglisi's Freelance to Freedom. And the way we do this, basically, if you want to enter this drawing, all you need to do, just go to choosefi.com/iTunes, leave us a short written review, and then just send us an email to feedback@choosefi.com, letting us know that you left a review and what screen name you left it under. And then every week on the Friday roundup, we announce the winners, and we do one book for every 5 written reviews that we get. And we're making a huge push right now, guys. We actually have 840 written reviews. We're really trying to make it to 1,000 written reviews. If you have been meaning to leave us a review, but life got in the way, can you do me a favor? Over the weekend, over the next week, just take 2 minutes. Go onto iTunes, leave us a written review. It is the number one way that you can help us out. And we appreciate you being a part of this community. Brad, how many winners do we have today?
All right, Jonathan, we have one winner today. And the winner is Kevin. And Kevin called this the practical path to financial independence. Brad and Jonathan are two of the most down-to-earth and practical members of the financial independence community. Their podcasts are always informative, enjoyable, and encouraging. Although I love most of the podcasts, one that has especially influenced me is the Fully Funded Lifestyle Change. If you like this podcast, make sure you check out both the website at choosefi.com and the Facebook groups. And Kevin, thank you very much. We greatly appreciate it.
So for those of you that heard that and are like, oh, that's interesting, I'd like to check that out. There's 2 episodes that I highly recommend. One was where we introduced the concept of the Fully Funded Lifestyle Change. That was with Mr. Slowly Sipping Coffee. That was episode 27. And then in episode 54, I actually repurposed that to explain my transition out of the workforce and why I decided to make ChooseFI my full-time side hustle, basically leaving the last 8 years that I've been focused on pharmacy and focusing on ChooseFI full-time. So really cool that you gave the shout out to those episodes. I hope that other people that are listening to this get value from those episodes. And if you have a favorite episode that you want other people to know about, that'd be really cool. Leave it in the written review. We'll definitely give it a readout on the show. Thanks so much for being here. The fire is spreading, my friends. We'll see you next time as we continue to go down the road less traveled.
You've been listening to Choose FI Radio Podcast, where we help middle-class America build wealth one life hack at a time.